Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
I want to read to you a passage of Scripture. Pastor Risen had just mentioned spring's coming. Winter's almost over. And so is Easter. It's on its way. And I think we need to start thinking about that. Matter of fact, we need to think about it every day of the week. Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were gathering, greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, two angels. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" What a statement, huh? "He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you, Lord, that we trust you as our personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you help us to go deeper. I pray that you help us be more committed. I pray, Lord, that you help us be more holy, that people might see you in the world rather than seeing us. And for that, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. I started thinking this past week of some great things that have happened. You think of some great things that happened? One of the great things was when Noah built this big ark. And God said that I'm going to destroy the world, but I'm going to save you and your family. But I want you to go out and preach every day. And he preached every day that a flood was coming, but it never rained on the earth, the Bible says, before that time. So they didn't believe. Even though everything was in front of them, they didn't believe. But God sealed that door and he saved Noah and his family. That was a great day. I thought about when Moses was down in the land of Egypt. They'd been there for 400 years. There wasn't a person alive that was of the Jewish nation, 600,000 of them, that remembered any good times in Egypt. Generation after generation after generation had passed, and they had all been slaves. And here comes Moses that God had saved in a little basket, trained him in the Pharaoh's house, had been in the wilderness for 40 years and came up and said to the Pharaoh, "Leave my people go." I'm sure the people, the Israelites, thought, "This isn't going to happen. Who does he think he is?" He hadn't even been around for 40 years. And now he's an old man. But I'll tell you, when they got to that Red Sea and that Red Sea opened up and 600,000 people walked across that on dry land and they turned around as soon as 600,000, think of that, 600,000. Actually, 601,028, if you're counting. They turned around and they watched the Pharaoh's army coming after them. And they were drowned in the sea. That was a pretty good day. How about when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den? Because Daniel said, "I'm not going to bow down to your image. I only bow down to one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ." We need to think about that. Do we bow down to money? Do we bow down to a political party? Do we bow down and just take anything they say that goes against the Bible? or do anything we want to do, even though it's against the Bible, so that we can have those riches, so that we can have that position. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and here comes God. And he starts speaking, lion. And he's saying, lions, shut your mouth. And the lions say, what are you talking about? This is my man. Remember how I fed you in the field? I'm the one that feeds you. I'm the one that took care of your babies. I'm the one, and you're going to take care of mine right here. So you just leave him alone. That is a great day. You say, well, preacher, it was a great day when Jesus was born. That was a great day. To think about it, God took his brightest star and just threw it out into the heavens so that the kings could see it and the shepherds could see. He said, strike up a chord, and the angels started to sing. Wow. It's a great day. But you say, preacher, what about when Jesus died? That was another great day. Matter of fact, when I was a young preacher, I preached a whole lot on that subject. That subject. Because he died for our sins. And he did. That was the atonement. Then I got to thinking, Abraham Lincoln died. George Washington died. Buddha died. Muhammad died. Paul the Apostle died. People die. But Jesus said this, and when they nailed him to the cross, they nailed his feet, they put a crown of thorns on his head, but he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And where they made their big error is when they lifted him up on that cross. And he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. Think about it. I like the Bible. I like every word, every period, every comma in the Bible, because the God that threw this world into space, that makes it spin around every 24 hours and go around the sun every year, is the same God that wrote this scripture. And he put every comma and every period right where it belonged. Jesus didn't say, I am finished, because he wasn't finished. They took him to a tomb. They sealed it with a rock. Think about this. Jesus is the rock. We sing that song, Michael. They put him in a rock, put him under a rock, they put him on a rock, and they put a rock in front of the door. And 3 days later, that whole rock started rocking. And it started rocking to the point that it couldn't hold it anymore. And the door came open. That's the greatest day that ever was, when life came from death through the Savior Jesus Christ, and he proved that he was the Son of God. Amen. That's the greatest day. He stepped out of there alive, and the lady saw him alive. The disciples, who were cowards, who ran away, saw him alive. Peter, who said, I don't know this man, said when they were going to kill him, he said, hang me upside down, because I don't even deserve to die the way he died, because I saw him. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says that he was seen by over 500 people after he rose from the dead. The disciples went out on the day of Pentecost and stood in front of him, and 3,000 people got saved. Because he's alive. It changed time. It changed our music. It changed our government. It changed poetry. It changed everything. Because Jesus rose from the dead. But yet we have people out there that don't believe. Why? Because they want to believe in the world. They want to believe in their own things. They want to continue to do their sin, because we are self-righteous. Matter of fact, some say, his body was stolen. He always wanted to be a lawyer when I was a kid. I thought I'd make a good prosecutor. Then as I got older, I thought, boy, I'm glad I wasn't a prosecutor, because I may have wanted to be a defendant attorney. make sure the government gets it right. But if I was a lawyer, I'd like to talk to those soldiers who are standing at the tomb, wouldn't you? Because something that's left out when they talk about the body being stole is you put the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, there, and they say, wasn't there a seal on that tomb? Yes, there was a seal on that tomb. And what happened? Well, the disciples came by and they stole his body during the night. During the night. And what were you doing when they stole? Well, we're asleep. But they got eyes in the back of their head. How were you asleep and you know who stole the body? That won't hold up in any court. Then the next question I'd have for them is, why are you even alive? You know, there's a decree, there's a law that when you guard someone, you get the punishment of theirs if they escape. How can you even be in here testifying when you should have been hanged? Well, we never thought about that. I guess you didn't. Well, another theory is they went to the wrong tomb. I wonder who rose out of that one. I'm sorry, but the excuses don't add up to the 500 people who saw him. The excuses doesn't add up to what Jesus did and how he did it. I want you to turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. That's right after Romans. And I want to read to you from chapter 15. This is worth hearing. I do, my brethren, he's talking to Christians here. He's talking to us. Didn't you like what Pastor Risen said about the church? I like that about the church. There's only one way the church can grow is if they get their eyes on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because when your eyes are up on that, everything else stops. All the gossip stops, all the backbiting stops, folks, I know I've been sick. I know you had a new pastor that came in. I know he does things different than what I did them. But the little bickering and dumb stuff you guys have been talking about just needs to end. We need to get caught up in who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Sometimes I can't believe that I've been here for 35 years almost, over 34. I mean, there's even been people complaining to Mary about my pay. I told them 8 years ago not to give me any more raises. Most of you didn't know that. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and they haven't. I'm taking a cut in pay every year because Pastor Eric's doing more and I'm doing less. Amazes me, Terry. No one was gossiping about our pay back when we went without pay for 2 months. No one said anything about our pay when we sold our house and used the money to live on. No one said anything about our pay when you had to go to work to pay for our hospitalization. Nobody said anything about our pay then. If you want to know something about our pay, sit down with Jackie and she'll go over it with you. If not, just shut up. If you want my pay, we came here because God called us. Take my pay. I'm not leaving. I didn't come for the pay. I was making as much when I came here as I'm making now. Just dumb stuff. Think about it. Think about what you've been talking about. Think about what you've been gossiping about. It's taken you off the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said, and Carl said the other night at Bible study on Tuesday night, I came to you knowing nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I know. That's all that I've preached here. That's all that I intend on preaching here. That's all that Pastor Eric is preaching here. Listen to this. This is amazing. Chapter 15. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which you also are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I believe to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and then after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Well, maybe it was a ghost. Now you believe in those. And whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James and all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen by me also, by one born out of due time. You know what he means by that? Jesus had died. Jesus had rose from the dead. Jesus ascended into heaven. And then Paul saw him the same as I saw him. Same Pastor Kay saw him. Same Pastor Risen saw him. Same as my wife saw him. Same as you saw him. And if you see him, all this little dumb stuff has to drop aside. And we need to concentrate on the resurrection of Jesus Christ like this church has concentrated on for 34 years. Yeah, quit paying me. I'm still going to come back and tell you the truth. I will tell you this. The church has been so good to us through the years without us asking. That an old preacher told me one time when I was a kid preacher, he says, you know, sometimes God is so good, Brother Fry, I got to get on my knees and ask God to quit blessing me. I know what they mean by that. Sometimes we have to say, Lord, you got to stop having people ask us out for dinner. We don't have enough days to go. That's true. Sometimes God just does more than we ask or think. You know why? Because our thinking is about doing what a church is supposed to be doing, encouraging one another, lifting up one another, building up one another, not arguing over what kind of pew you're sitting on. Childish things. Are childish things, and they'll remain childish things. But when I grew up, I became a man, and I put away childish things. I don't care what position you hold in this church, you need to put away childish things. You need to concentrate on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in him, when he rose from the dead, death died. Death died. And now I live. Paul said, it's not I that live, but he that lives in me. For I'm crucified with him. What does Easter mean to you? It means that it doesn't matter if you hear you have cancer, you're laid up for weeks or months, you're still alive. And you're going to be alive the next day, whether your eyes open or not, because you've seen Jesus. Can you concentrate on that? Can you say, I know nothing save him crucified? You say, but preacher, I don't like those big lights. You ought to be up here. But it's warm in here. You ought to be up here. Unity is what builds a church. Division destroys it. Unity comes only in Jesus Christ. Division comes by anyone. If you heard tomorrow that you had an illness, that you're going to die in a week, who are you going to call? I'll call your church. What do you want them talking about? Chandeliers? I've been with many people when they died, way more than I ever dreamed of being with when I was called to preach. I didn't see pastoring as part of that. But you know what they want? They didn't call the banker, find out what their bank account was. They didn't call their insurance man, find out how much insurance they had. They didn't call the president of college, find out, make sure their degree was right. They call the preacher because they want to make sure their heart is right with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they too are going to live forever. Amen. That's our only ministry here, folks. That's it. And we need to stand in that. We need to get over ourselves. I'm here to answer any question you've got, anytime you've got it. But people aren't asking me questions. I guess they think I'm sick or dying or something. I'm not either. I'm going to live forever. Let us stand together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a church that has been united year after year after year. Lord, you know why you allowed my sickness. You also know why you've allowed me to feel better now than I felt in 4 or 5 years. God, I pray this day that you forgive us for bickering. You forgive us for being critical. And that we stand here united together, knowing that you sent us here to do a work for you. Not just to sit on the sidelines, but to do a work for you. And that work we know is the most important thing in the whole wide world. And we know that we have but a short time to do it. So if we needs go through Samaria to win one that is down and out, or we find ourselves with a Nicodemus who is up and out, might really realize, Lord, that they all need you, because there's no other way but by Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. You couldn't keep a good man down. He rose from the dead, and he split time in half, and he changed my life, and he changed everyone here's life that is submitted unto him. Lord, get the junk out. Get our hearts together and get our minds right. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.